Once I got past Sawn in Two. Did you catch that phrase in that list? Yeah. After Sawn in Two, perseverance is the word I keep coming back to. The word that keeps coming back to me. Perseverance in this case, not in that head down, grit your teeth, stick to it no matter what kind of way, but perseverance of another sort. Perseverance that's born of an audacious hope that God, who so loves this world, is in it with us. Ever and always at work among us, like a healing stream, is in the words of that hymn we often sing. Like a river strong as a restless current, like a mighty sea reaching far horizons, God is trickling through our lives as in a dream unfolding. God is carving out a channel in a new direction. God is working in our hearts to shape a new tomorrow. Perseverance that's born of our trust in God's inexhaustible love. And perseverance that is strengthened too by the lives of those that we call the saints. Our world so needs people who persevere, who don't give up, who keep going, who in the face of all that threatens the fullness of life on this planet, who find a way to resist that momentum and step instead into a far more powerful momentum, the flow of God's redeeming way. And truth be told, there are such people. There are millions and millions of these people. Anyone remember Erin Paisley? If we don't remember her by name, I'm guessing we might remember her by her passion to support education for girls. She's the student from Reynolds High School here in town who showed up at her graduation prom in a dress that she made out of paper. The paper that she had used for her math homework. It was a masterpiece. She looked beautiful. And written across the bottom of her knee-high dress in red marker, there it was. I received my education. Not every woman has. Malala.org. Is the story coming back to you? The $250 that she had budgeted for a ready-made grad dress, she donated to Malala's organization. But that wasn't the end of it. She went on to post the dress online for auction. The closing bid was $1,150, went to Malala.org. And still there's more. Erin is now at the University of Toronto studying peace, conflict, and justice, and media studies. She's already published her first book entitled Can Your Smartphone Change the World? It's all about empowering young people, but not only young people, to create positive change through their smartphones and social media. She's convinced that the younger we start that conversation about how social media can be used as a positive tool for change, the more we can transform it into this. I trust youth, she says, and know that they can solve the most complicated of issues when people give them the space to do so. Already, her second book is due out this spring, focusing on consumerism and ethical fashion. Our world so needs people who say no to a way of thinking and perceiving and being that is destructive, and to find a way to step into another flow, that flow of God's redeeming, life-giving way. This past week, maybe to your home too, we received in the mail a letter from Malcolm McCaddy, a veterinarian in Nanaimo, who of all things has a heart for Canada's most endangered mammal, the Vancouver Island marmot. In 1998, he says, their numbers had fallen to 80. 80 of these little creatures on the entire planet. So here's a man who is saying no to the end of a species and is devoting his energies and gathering in the help of others to help this marmot population thrive again. Through a breeding and releasing into the wild program, their numbers have grown to 200. Our rare and beautiful marmot won't be free from the threat of extinction, he writes, until the species reaches a sustainable number of about 150 to 200 marmots in each of three regions on Vancouver Island, areas that enabled them to survive as distinct species for thousands of years. So here's Malcolm, friend of the marmots, stepping into that flow of another way, of God's redeeming, life-giving way. This is really a day for snapshots, for calling to mind those people, not just the famous ones, but all those ordinary people who have and are risking getting involved in the struggle for life, even and especially in those places where it seems impossible, who allow their lives and their hearts to be broken open in some way, such that God's desire for abundant life for all is happening, here, there, and everywhere. I wonder who those people are for you. This morning, in our celebration of communion, there'll be an opportunity for us to light a candle in thanksgiving for all of these ones. So in that passage that Duncan read to us from the letter to the Hebrews, it goes on and on at length, even more than what Duncan read to us, itemizing all of these people who lived by faith. Faith as that willingness to trust our lives and our future to God, even when, by all appearances, God seems no longer part of the action. The text refers to their faithfulness, their resilience, and then at the end of this long chapter, there are these two quick verses that conclude it. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. I love it the way Walter Brueggemann puts it. I believe, he says, that entire chapter was written in order to get to these two verses. You see, it's not just all about these giants in faith. Suddenly we're brought into the picture right alongside them. All these ancestors who lived by faith did well, and yet they did not receive the full promise. The kingdom of God did not come in its fullness in their time. There is much of God's dream that remains unfinished and unsettled. While they are commended for their faith, the text says, they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. In other words, what we do with our lives matters to them. What we do with our lives has real bearing on the completion, on the fulfillment of theirs. For there's this unavoidable continuity with all who have gone before us. in a sense, what they finally accomplish depends on our daring faith. So here's the question the celebration of All Saints extends to us. Whoever you are, whatever your place and stage in life, how are you making room in your being with your life for God's unquenchable love to reach the ground, to bless the earth, to heal the world? The invitation, the call is to join that great procession, not simply for their sake, but for ours, that we might find ourselves encouraged and upheld and urged on by that great host of witnesses. As in that beautiful image we're given in that letter to the Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.